Hallelujah. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you. We worship you. We exalt you. We extol you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is no limitation on what God wants to do here tonight. And I believe that we are willing as well to allow God to use us as conduits, that we can be channels that the Holy Ghost can flow through. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing when that happens is that the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the Lord when one sinner repenteth. Now my question to you, who is in the presence of the Lord? Or it says that there's joy in the presence of the angels of the Lord. So my question is, who is in the presence of the angels of the Lord? The Lord is in the presence of the angels of the Lord. So a lot of times people say that when there's joy in heaven, that the angels are rejoicing. Really, God starts the party. And we see the pattern of the prodigal. The servants didn't start the party. The father started the party. The father was the one that got excited. He said, let's celebrate. So there's joy in the presence of the angels of the Lord over one sinner that repented. When one sinner repents, God says, let's have a party. God initiates the whole thing. And great things begin to happen. Great things are happening right now. I said great things are happening right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you. I pray that somehow, some way we can let the Lord be a blessing to you. Amen. I want us to go to the word of the Lord tonight. Book of 2 Kings. And while we're turning, I want to say, again, I'm very thankful for the invitation that Pastor Sutton has offered to me. And I honor him in his absence. Honor this local church and the ministry, and appreciate all of our guests that are here tonight. Amen. God bless you. And we know that God's design is for you and I to be more like him. Amen. His design is for us to be more like him. 2 Kings chapter number 13. I want to read a very familiar passage of scripture. Pray God's help and strength tonight. Had a good report back at home. We had a lady that had sold her soul to what is called death. There's a big cult rising, and I think it's even sweeping over America. And in Mexico, I think it's the heart of where it began. And it's called the Holy Death or La Santa Muerte. And so a lot of people are worshiping. And people do it probably not even knowing, but these skulls with, you know, different like cartoonish kind of figures of skulls, cadavers, that is actually something that they worship in Mexico and has spread throughout Latin America. And I said it's coming or it's here already. So she was afraid. She has a tattoo with La Santa Muerte, and they worship death so that death will protect them. They worship death so that death will protect them. But I got news that she received the Holy Ghost. Amen. She received the Holy Ghost today. So I'm thank God for that. And I'm just now noticing my wife and my daughters have just showed up. Amen. They're back there somewhere. I just saw them walk in. So I guess they're marching around somewhere. Oh, there's my daughter right there. Hey, Kayla, God bless you. Love you. Amen. So that's my daughter, everybody. Caleb, God bless you, Caleb. So glad he's here. Amen. And some others are coming in. Thankful that they made it all the way from Memphis. Praise God. Praise God. You would think they'd have enough abuse already. I'll drive all the way down here to hear it again. But praise God they're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 14. Good to see Brother Miranda. Dios lo bendiga, hermano. Bueno verle. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And so this story, like I said, is very familiar to many of us, of a desperate king asking one more time for the man of God to pray over him, to anoint him, to give him direction, to bless him. He realizes that Elisha is about to die. He did not want Elisha to go without him getting once again hearing the voice of God for his life. And he gets some good, clear direction, instruction. And there's a lot here. I'm not going to be able to elaborate on all of it, but I want to take my title from verse 17. And he said, Open the window eastward. And there's a lot to be said about this. We know the east was the direction of which the door to the tabernacle was. And Judah was at the eastern gate. And so as you walked into the courts, you had to go in through the east. We know that the sun rises in the east. And all of these things are symbolism or typologies of what was taking place. But my real focus is not so much the direction, but the action. Open the window. I want to preach to us today by the help of the Lord, your window of opportunity. Your window of opportunity. Why don't we all pray? Lord God, we thank you for your presence that is obvious and evident in this house. We ask you, God, for your anointing, for your blessing. We ask you, God, to speak to our lives in such a very emphatic and specific way. Help us, God, to get a hold of what you want to do and speak to us. And help us, God, to make the right choices. That your name be glorified. That your will be done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If that's your desire today, hallelujah. Say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. As I said, I'm honored that my wife and girls are with me. Amen. She's the one with the red. That's my wife. Praise God. That's my little daughter, Kesia. And Brother Samuel, Dios lo bendiga, hermano. Hermano Moisés, hermana Miranda. So glad that they made it. Wow. Praise God. Honor they're here. Amen. In this passage of scripture, we find that there is direction that's being sought, and it's given. And there are a lot of neat things that happen here that I'm sure your pastor has expounded upon time and time again. I knew that when he had invited me to come, he didn't invite me to impress you, because if you're not impressed with his preaching, you're not going to be impressed ever. I've heard him preach twice, and I was like, what? I felt like my brain was about to explode. It was amazing. But anyways, so I'm not here to impress you, but I do feel that the Lord wants someone to understand that the Bible, God's map, God's plan, God's word is written on purpose. It's never outdated. It's never stale. It never expires. It doesn't It overcomes and surpasses all of the other limitations that any other writing would have. There is no other writing that is equivalent to the Word of God. Amen. None. Never has been, never will be. It's powerful. And so what we find, the principles here apply to us today in 2016. And so he tells him to open the window. Now, windows of opportunity, we understand the phraseology, that there's a moment that we have a chance to embark on maybe a new business venture, or an opportunity to go to school, or opportunity to say hi to that person that you've been staring at for so long. There's a window of opportunity. You just got to take advantage, because if you don't, somebody else will. Right? I heard someone said that the early bird gets the worm. And that could be true in some cases. But there are certain windows in our life that we're more open or susceptible in making choices. And there are two major life choices that you'll make in your journey. Your first major life choice is to give your life to God. Amen. That is the first major life choice, is to give your life to God. Not to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, because he didn't do anything that we need to accept him for. If I'm asking you to accept something, it's because I have a proposition. Maybe I want you to see if you'll accept it. No. Matter of fact, he accepts us. And he shows us that he accepts us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his sign of acceptance to us. But we must repent. That means we must change direction. We must do a 180, not a 360. I know sometimes a 360 looks more impressive, but it's not what gets the job done. We must do a 180. We must repent. We must be baptized in Jesus' name. Baptism in Jesus' name is not optional. It's mandatory. We must be baptized in Jesus' name. And the reason why we must be baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible says, is for the remission of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. It's for taking away of sin from our life. The sins we've repented of only are remitted when we're baptized in Jesus' name. And we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not an additional blessing. We need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. We can't serve God without the Holy Ghost. We can make some attempts. We can look good. We can kind of fake it till you make it, as some say. But we're not going to please God until we have God's Spirit dwelling in us. It's Christ in you, in me, in us, the hope of glory. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we're on the same page. Good. So since we these are things that we need and that God grants us, offers us, presents to us, our first major life choice is giving ourselves to God. Now, some of us have put the cart before the horse, and this second major life choice, you probably did it before you made the first one. But that is finding out who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. That's the second major life choice. It's not your career. I know you thought it was, but it's not. It's not that car you've been eyeing. Man, should I get it? That's not the second. The second major life choice that you'll ever make in your life is the person that you're going to wake up to see every morning. And that's pretty important. Amen. That's a long time. Amen. It's going to get better. But when you think about this, because some understand the weightiness of this decision, they postpone it. I've got some lifers here tonight. Amen. All the way from Memphis. They have postponed this opportunity. And we postpone it because we don't want to mess up. We don't want to make the wrong choice. Now let me tell you some good ways of how you'll never make a bad choice. Do like the king did. He sought the man of God. He said, put your hands on my hands. Amen. He allowed him to give him some orientation. If you have that from your parents, if you have that from the man of God, you're probably not going to have a bad shot. You with me? If you let the most important voices in your life, which would be the voice of your parents, the voice of the man of God, you will probably make a very good choice. Now, I want to debunk the myth that the perfect people no longer exist. Only perfect person we had besides Jesus was Adam and then Eve. And then after that, it was downhill. Hello? Okay. So if you're looking for that very perfect person, keep looking. Hello. I know you probably didn't see this in 2 Kings 13, but it's there. I'm talking to you. You need to make this second life choice very carefully, but you can't go into limbo in eternity because you're afraid to make a choice. This is what I mean. There are certain principles the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. For you to find a wife, you have to look for her. She's not going to come in UPS. FedEx is not going to deliver her. Okay, here she is. You have to look for her. That means that you're going to have to get beyond all of the things that your quirkiness that makes you feel uncomfortable of just putting it all out there and talking to somebody. What if they say no? Well, what if they say yes? Anyways, this is not a dating class. I'm just trying to help somebody understand. Y'all got real quiet. I mean, I'm saying super quiet. But that's good. That's good. Hopefully you're listening. And so this is a window of opportunity that you have, because as time moves on and you procrastinate, you're black, blonde, red, or like me, bald, begins to change colors. And so now you're looking for somebody and you're 58, never married. And now, you know, fine, I think I'm settled in. I think I know where I'm going now. I think I got this. Well, you need to go to the nursing home. Because all of your chances, they left. You understand? So you have to take advantage of the moment and understand, you know what? Man, Pastor, I've been looking at Sister So-and-so, and she has a good family, and her mom acts right. That's a good indication. That's a good indication. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyways, where was I at? And so I feel that, I don't know. Should I talk to her? Pastor's going to say, you know what? Let's pray about that. Or he may say, what do your parents think? Or whatever is said, whatever he tells you, that's what you need to do. Instead of letting that window close. I'm about to get off this subject so you can relax your toes, because some of you guys got your toes all tied up. I'm about to get off this subject, okay? I'm just a few more seconds. Let me tell you this, that I feel that there are the bulk of the responsibility falls upon the young man. The young man is the one who needs to initiate and sustain and continue the relationship. Amen. None of the young men said anything, but I'm trusting that God's going to help you today. That is your responsibility. I know in the animal kingdom it's different. They just spread the feathers. Look at me. Well, that we're not animals. I know the cardinal is bright red, and look at me. That's not how it works with humans. So you may feel like you're God's gift, but you need to start giving the gift. Oh, okay. Praise God. So this is how this works. You have to initiate. You have to start the relationship and make sure it's done correctly. If you go to your pastor. Now, he didn't tell me any of this. I don't even know why I'm saying all this. I kind of feel like I do, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. If he gives you the green light on the relationship, because there's some relationships he may say, don't do it. And then you're like, but she's the one. No, she's not the one because he said, don't do it. So she is not the one. There is another one, but she ain't it. Amen. And you don't have to go behind the pastor's back. I went to the pastor. He told me I can't date you. Not good. If a young man tells you that, you just need to erase his number from your phone. He's nothing but trouble. He don't have a spine. He doesn't have a backbone. He doesn't have authority in his life. He doesn't know how to submit. That's trouble. Oh, hallelujah. What in the world did I get into today? And so that's the responsibility of the young man. So the young man has to make sure that when he's doing all of these things that he is willing to provide. Now, I know some of us feel that I have to provide a 5,000 square foot home for my new bride. And if you can do that, God bless you. We're proud of you. Thank God. Hallelujah. But I was not able to do that. No, sir. My wife's right here. She knows. We shared a house with some roaches and rats. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, that's right. The real word. You're right. We had our first living room set. We picked up off the curb, or somebody else picked it up off the curb and brought it to our house. Praise God. Oh, Pastor May, what are you talking about? I'm talking about reality. And so I understood that I don't need to get everything out of the catalog for my life to be happy. And so with time and by God's grace and God's mercy, things did change. They got better, but it wasn't straight out the gate. You can't expect to have everything mom and dad has. It took mom and dad several years to get what they have, and you have to get it like they got it. You have to work. You have to wait. You have to plan. You have to budget. It takes time. Praise God. Okay, that's the young man. Now we can talk about the young ladies. Hallelujah. Y'all got it easy. Y'all just got to look pretty. And understand that whoever you marry is going to be the head of your life. So you got to look at, you know what, man, that head's way too big. I don't want that one. You understand what I'm saying? Man, that's a small head. I don't want that one. You have to understand that whoever you marry will be the head of your life. And if you can't follow that person, there's no need to even give them the time. Don't give them no hope. So I put it like this. It's kind of like you're at a bus station and there's all these buses, right? Okay, I'm in Birmingham. I'm going to Memphis, but I see this beautiful, man, this is a beautiful bus. It's yellow and gold, and man, it's beautiful. And but it says Los Angeles. Well, I'm not going to Los Angeles. So I'm not going to get on that bus. It doesn't matter if yellow and gold are my favorite colors. I am not going to Los Angeles. I'm going to Memphis. So I'm not getting on that bus. That's the same thing. It doesn't matter if my good brother full of the Holy Ghost has a good game. He has a good talk. Amen. If he's not going the direction you're going, don't get on the bus. It's just real easy. Just don't get on that bus. That bus is not for you. So these are windows of opportunity. Amen. And so you only, at the bus station, the bus doesn't just say, well, we're going to wait to see if so-and-so wants to get on. No, the bus says we're leaving at this time, and you have to make a choice. And that's a hard thing for us to do. Make choices. Make choices. People have trouble making choices. But we need to be able to make choices. I didn't have any trouble today. They said, "Where you want to go eat?" And they started listing the names. I said, "I want to go right there. Thank you." Amen. But sometimes I've been places where they ask where you want to go eat, and we spend 30 minutes to 40 minutes talking about where. No, I don't know. I'm like, really? Does it take that long to decide what you want to eat? It should not. Some of y'all had that problem today. Here we go. Windows of opportunity. The Bible talks to us, tells us about an incident where a person got pushed out of her window of opportunity. This woman's name is Jezebel. Jezebel understands that Jehu has a vengeance in his spirit to purify Israel. God has empowered him. And Jehu is writing to where Jezebel is at, because he understands that through Ahab and Jezebel, Israel have left all the principles and all of the commandments of the Lord. And so when Jezebel hears that Jehu is on his way, she begins to paint herself. And she begins to dress herself. And the Bible tells us that she looks out through the window. What Jezebel thought was, you know what? I've seen tall ones fall. I've seen short ones fall. Fat ones, skinny ones, muscular ones, and ones who lacked. Amen. They've all fallen by the batting of my eyes and by the moving of my lips. And they went, okay, you got the understanding. And so she said, it's going to happen again. So instead of Jezebel understanding that, you know what, death is at the door, I need to repent. I need to get things right with God. I need to change my ways. I need to ask God for mercy. He might forgive me. Instead of her taking advantage of her window opportunity, amen, she looked through those windows, through the window, trying to seduce Jehu. But Jehu said, you know what? I don't have time to talk to you. Who is on my side? And there were three eunuchs that were there. And he said, if you're on my side, throw her out. And they threw Jezebel out of the window. You don't want to get pushed out of your window of opportunity. I said, you don't want to get pushed out of your window of opportunity. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Eutychus that was in a service, hopefully not like tonight, where Paul decided to preach all night long. And this man, this young man was sitting in a window, and he got the spirit of sleep on him, like some of you got right now. You're kind of in and out, you know. He had the spirit of sleep upon him. And he fell asleep. But not only did he fall asleep, he fell out of a third story window and hit the ground. Boom. Now, the preacher could have said, you know what, that's what you did get. And keep on preaching. But he didn't do that. He had a little mercy. He went down there, prayed for him. He came back up and he kept on preaching. Hallelujah. You don't want to fall out of your window of opportunity either. You don't want no one to push you out, and you don't want to fall out. But you want to take advantage of every window of opportunity that God affords you. Every time we come to church is a window of opportunity to give God praise, to give God glory, to give God worship. Every time, amen, we see a new day, amen, we must say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is my opportunity to let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Praise God. So there are windows of opportunity there. Come in our lives that we must take advantage of. And I want to focus on tonight one that we find in the book of Judges, or the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. The Bible has a bit of an enigma here that, or at least it was for me, couldn't understand for many years. I think God would give me a little understanding. But Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. This is the scripture that bothered me. Okay, so these guys got sent out to do this reconnaissance mission, and they went to a brothel. It says they lodged there. It wasn't like they just were just passing through it. They stopped. That bothered me. How did this happen? What was going on? And then I feel like God gave me some understanding. Some of y'all just kind of say, well, that's life. No. No, they were on a mission, and I don't think they got detoured. Something happened. And so my understanding, I feel like the Lord helped me to understand this, was that these men were on the mission. They knew what they had to do. They had to secretly spy out the land, so they couldn't go to the governor's house. They couldn't go to the captain of the guard's house. They couldn't go to a normal resident's house. But there was one place that was open to all. Amen. And that's where they went. And so, it's my belief that they went there because it was the most inconspicuous place to go, where you wouldn't be asked a whole lot of questions, and you can get in. And that's what they did. And as they get in, there is something that happens. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm thinking in my mind, something had to take place. They get in there. They know that they're foreigners, but that doesn't matter, because who knows how many other foreigners have been through there. But there was something I believe happened when they walked in and they begin to present. They said, no, we're here on business, not pleasure. Amen. God is about to do something. And so the Bible tells us in verse 2, and it was told the king, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. But Rahab took the men and hid them, and said thus, the men that came unto me, but I don't know where they went. People always come in and out. That was not second guessed. When she said that, it was understood. Okay, they moved on. So they're on, but Rahab understands something. These men are now in my house, and they're leaving. They're not going to hang out here. And I only have this brief window of opportunity to get my petition heard and hopefully answered. And so she begins to talk to them. And the Bible says in verse number 5, and it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whether the men went, I don't know where they went. So verse number 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of flax, which he had laid in order upon the roof. And verse 8 says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now Jericho was a very fortified, strong, robust city. But even though they had all of this exterior and possibly interior fortification, there was something about, amen, when the people of God began to possess the land, that they understood that our walls aren't big enough, they're not thick enough, they're not high enough, they're not strong enough to stop the will and plan and purpose of God. And you must understand, whatever wall you face tonight, it's not big enough, it's not thick enough, it's not strong enough, it's not high enough to stop the plan and the purpose of God for your life. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if God says it's yours, it's yours. And you just got to believe him, and you got to trust him, and you got to take steps of faith, knowing that he will back up his word. And so she said this, and she goes on to say, and For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. There's a testimony. Amen. There's a testimony. There are people here with testimonies. Amen. That when you're out there, you think no one's paid attention, but they knew you before, how you were all messed up, and they see you're walking right now. You're talking right now. They know there's a difference. They may make fun of you. They may ridicule you, but there's something about who you are that provides to them a sense of hope. Amen. That, you know what, if this guy, if this girl, if they can get out of the mess that they were in, I saw them at a distance, the trouble that they were facing, but I'm seeing something has changed in their life. They had a testimony. You have a testimony. You have something that the world needs to see and they need to hear. Said that your God was able to dry up the Red Sea. And when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. So as soon as we heard these things, verse 11, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Wow. Wow. Now there's few moments in the Bible where we're able to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. We're able to hear the other side. There's a chance. There's a time there with Gideon when he had he went down by the camp of the Midianites and he heard what they had dreamt and what the interpretation was, and he knew that God was going to give him victory. But there are a few moments in the Bible where we have glimpses of what the enemy is thinking. And a lot of times you feel like, you know what, I can't make it, and this is too hard, and this is too difficult. But if you could just hear the conversation on the other side, if you could just hear what's going on the other side, and knowing that, amen, that when you feel like you can't do it, God is saying, amen, I'm with you. What the enemy is trying to do for evil, I'm gonna turn it around, and I'm gonna make it into good. I'm in control of this situation. Don't give up. Don't let up. Don't give in. Don't shut up. Don't hide up. It's time to declare. It's time to denounce, amen, sin, and say, hallelujah, God, I'm trusting you for a miracle in my life. She said, all of this is happening because of you guys. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now this is a heathen woman. This is a heathen woman. This is a prostitute. And she's encouraging these guys. Hey man, don't look sad. It's okay. Your God is big. Your God's tough. He's got you. Don't worry about this. We know. I'm concerned. And now that you're here, I've got a prayer request. Now that you're here, I have a petition. Now that you're here, I have, amen, to take advantage of my window of opportunity. This meeting is so very important for the future of Rahab. Look what the Bible tells us. In verse number 12. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I showed you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my father's house. Rahab becomes an evangelist. Rahab is not saying, you know what, take me with you. No, 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 no. She said, I want you to have mercy on my father's house. I want you to show me and give me a true token. And they told her, she said that ye will save alive my father, verse 13, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab said, I want you to hear me. I want you to, I need you guys to help me. I have a prayer request. I want my family to be saved. I want my family to be saved. You've got to do this for me. Listen what they tell her. The men answered, our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, when the Lord hath given us the land, we will deal kindly unto thee. And so the Bible tells us she let them down by a cord through the window. She had a cord. She let them down through the window. The Bible goes on to say that the men told her in verse 17, the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, for which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you will bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Verse 21, and she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. This was Rahab's window of opportunity. This was Rahab's window of opportunity. She said, "You know what? I'm going to take advantage of this." And Rahab could have said, "You know what? Now I've got this cord, but everyone's seeing that my window looks different from everybody else's." Some of us get hung up with some of the differences that you see in church from out of church. And sometimes we say, "Why is it that we have to dress a certain way?" Now, first of all, we don't have to do anything. We get to. Hello? We don't have to do anything. We get to. Because I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He obeyed my love, wrote my name in love. Thank you, Jesus. So it's not something where I'm obligated. Oh, man, I've got to do this. I've got to dress this way. No, thank God for the blood. Amen. That I can. I have an opportunity. I am now an ambassador. I am now an ambassador. I am now an ambassador of Jesus Christ. My God. So she wasn't upset. "I don't know why I have to put this red cord in my window. It's going to look so ugly. It doesn't match." You know, when if you're drowning and someone throws you out a yellow lifesaver, you know what? I want the red and white one. You know, I don't care what color it is. Just send it my way and get me out of this. We need to stop being so picky about the things that God is asking us to do. We just need to do it. We just need to say, "Yes, God, I will obey. I'm going to trust you. If this is what you want from me, if you say from here until you come, you want me to wear green socks, well, bless God, I'm going to wear green socks." Praise God. We've got to get a hold of something and not feel intimidated, inferior. You don't have to feel less than anyone else. The Bible tells us that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That we were called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, we are showing the world the love and mercy of God. Amen. And so, yes, we do dress different. But it's not bondage. It's because we've been set free. Yes, we do talk a little different. And yes, we do act a little different. But it's because God has made some changes in our soul. Hallelujah. And so here we have it. She has this scarlet cord in her window. But one of the things I see about it, Rahab, is that Rahab didn't waste much time. once she understood. Verse number 21 says, and she said, according to your word, so be it. She sent them away and they departed. She bound the scarlet line in the window. She understood that her time, her window of opportunity was short. And so I can envision her going to her mom and dad's house. Or I should say, dad and mom's house. You say, what's the difference? Well, that's kind of one of those little things I have. I'm working out. Have you guys noticed that everything now is mom and dad instead of dad and mom? Right? Don't you say that, mom and dad? And that's not the right order. The right order is dad and mom. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyways, so here we have it. She goes to her dad and mom's house. And when she gets there, I'm just envisioning in my mind, she knocks on the door. And so they didn't hear first time. You know how that is. Who is it? And so he comes to the door, or the mom comes to the door and realizes it's Rahab. And she says, Rahab, what are you doing? You know your dad doesn't want you to come. He said you didn't want you to come back to the house. No, but mom and dad, and he's in the background. Who's at the door? It's Rahab. Tell her I told her I don't want her to come back here ever again. And so Rahab's saying, you know what? I understand that. I messed up. I know I've been a disgrace to our family. I know I made some bad choices and I made some wrong decisions. And you know what? That's biblical. When we've messed up, we've got to fess up. We've got to realize. We've got to confess. We need somebody to get the attitude of Zacchaeus. And you know what? Yes, I did wrong. I don't want to just sweep it under the rug. I did wrong. And I need to recognize and take responsibility for my actions. And so I feel she said, you know, yes, I messed up and I'm sorry, but I'm not asking for a handout and I'm not asking just for you to forgive me, but I'm saying you need to come to my house. And he's like, you know, I'll never step into a place like that. No, Dad, I closed down the shop. We're no longer doing that anymore. Amen. But something's happened in my life. I got a word from God. I got a promise from the God of Israel. And you got to come to my house if you're going to be saved. Amen. I believe that's what God does in the church. Amen. When God begins to deal with you and he brings you out of your addiction and your past. Amen. And your struggles. Amen. God is saying, I'm giving you a testimony to tell everybody you know. You need to come to my church. You need to come to the house of God. Amen. Where there's salvation, where there's deliverance, where there's a window of opportunity, where there's a red cord, where you can say, I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. Mom and dad go to the house. And now she's going over to her brother's house. And the scenario is probably very similar. And she goes to her sister's house. And that's probably similar. And it says brethren and sisters. So she probably had several brothers and several sisters. And so she goes through all this. What do we see Rahab doing? Rahab has become a living witness, a testimony, an evangelist. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. She's telling everybody she knows. You need to come to my house because there's deliverance in my house. There's salvation at my house. Woo! And so Rahab's house, I can see it. In my mind, it's packed. All kind of people in there. And they're happy. Because they understand, although it's a little bit uncomfortable, amen, this is the best place on the planet. A lot of people complain about Noah, amen, and his family living in that big zoo that they were in. I can just imagine what it smelled like in there. It's closed up. I mean, the windows closed, doors closed. Help me, Jesus. It was rough. But it was a whole lot better than the alternative. And sometimes it gets pretty rough in here. Sometimes it gets a little stinky. Come on. Sometimes it gets a little stinky. But it's better than the alternative. Amen. I'd rather be in here and endure a little bit of the stink. I'd rather be in here and be a little bit uncomfortable at times than to be outside, amen, drowning and wallowing in my situation, in my sin, in my predicament. Thank God for the church. 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 Hallelujah. Her house is full. They're all in there. And the day comes. And they're looking through the window. Man, they're walking around. What's that all about, Rahab? I don't know. But stay in the house. Amen. There may be some things we can't interpret about Revelation. I ain't worried about it. I'm just going to stay in the house. Well, who is the fourth beast? I don't know. But I'm just going to stay in the house. So is he coming pre-trib or mid? I don't know. I'm just going to stay in the house. I don't have all the answers, but I know he is the answer. And I'm going to stay in the house. This ain't the time to be wandering out in the streets. This ain't the time to backslide. This ain't the time for that. You need to stay in the house. You need to keep, amen, your eyes stayed on Jesus. So they're there. Second day. They're walking around again. Yeah, they are. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. But we're here in the house. Praise God. And we got a promise. We got a promise. We got a promise. We just got to stay here. And so we know the story. Seventh day. Man, that's two times they've been around. No, that's been four times. Hey, what's going on, Ray? I don't know. Don't worry about it. We're in the right place at the right time. It's going to be all right. Hey, I said it's going to be all right. We're in the right place. We took advantage of our window of opportunity. It's going to be okay. We know the walls of Jericho fell flat. We know that all the inhabitants of Jericho were destroyed. But the Bible tells us this, amen, about Rahab in verse number 21 of chapter number 6. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, the ox and the sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the two men that spied into the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. They brought out all her kindred. They brought out all her kindred, all of her family, all of her kinfolk. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Woo! Rahab took advantage of her window opportunity. Verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day. Now, some of you not believing that story, but when you look through the genealogy, Rahab married a man by the name of Solomon, and they had a son by the name of Boaz. Y'all know him? Who married a woman by the name of Ruth, and they had a son by the name of Obed. Who had a son by the name of Jesse? Who had a son by the name of David? Rahab ends up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. How is that possible? She was a prostitute. You said it right. She was. But she got saved. Amen. She took advantage of her window of opportunity. And God allowed her to have her name written within the genealogy. Why don't we stand here tonight? There are very few women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You have Sarah. And then it says other women. And it mentions only one other woman. And it wasn't Esther. And it wasn't Mary. It was Rahab. Because she had a window of opportunity. And she said, I'm going to take advantage of. There are people here tonight that God has opened up a window of opportunity for you tonight that you need to take advantage of. You can't say, well, you know, that we'll see. We'll check into that, man. That was nice. We'll catch you the next time. No, this is your opportunity. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't know where you're going to be next week. I don't know where I'll be next week. But tonight we're here. Right now. And God wants to do something in your life tonight. There's some choices that you've been considering. You need God's help. You need the man of God to put his hand on your hand. You need to get some direction and some instruction. Hello? And if you've messed up and your life's been in shambles, amen, God is a God of new beginnings. And tonight, amen, we can make amends. I said we can make amends. We can do some repenting. And we can do some soul searching. And we can not just mentally and verbally declare it to God. But some of us have to ask our parents to forgive us. For our smart mouth. And our bad attitudes. Whew. What did he say? Okay, I'll rewind the tape. Some of us have to ask our parents for forgiveness. For our smart mouths and our bad attitudes. Shh. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say, you don't have a room. Hello? You don't have a room. If you live in mom and dad's house, that's every room in that house is theirs. And they're letting you live in that room. So don't get no attitude. Don't come in my room. You don't have a room. You have a bed. Well, you don't have a bed. Everything, even the clothes on your back, is because of them. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that was weak on behalf of the young people. Y'all should have been clapping. At least for gratitude. Hallelujah. My God. But we need to make some things right. Tonight. Because the things that God wants to do, the people God wants to reach, it's going to be through us. Rahab had to get some things right first before she was able to reach her father and her mother, her brothers and her sisters. We can pray, God, save my family. God, save my mom. Save my dad. Save my kids. But if you don't make things right, I'm not saying he won't do it, but you may not be a part of the equation. I want to be a part of the equation. Amen. I want to be a part of the equation. Don't let your pride stifle out God's will in your life. I said, don't allow your pride to stifle God's will for your life. But say, pride, get off my back, get off my neck. In Jesus' name, amen, I'm going to make this right. There's some siblings that have to make some things right. My God. Oh, yeah. You need to make some things right. And it goes without saying, I know there's some husbands and wives that need to make some things right. Some of y'all fought on the way here. Hallelujah. I didn't because my wife wasn't with me. But some of y'all did. We need God's help. We're not playing church. Hello? I said, we're not playing church. We're serious about this. This is just not just a token of just, well, that's nice. No, she understood that the only way I'm guaranteed salvation is that I have to have this hanging in my window. And we're guaranteed salvation. The Bible says this. out of the beautiful Lord's Prayer, everything that talks about hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, give us this day, and all those beautiful things. The only thing that Jesus addressed, he didn't address the name, he didn't address the authority, he didn't address the kingdom, he didn't address the bread. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, I will forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I won't forgive you your trespasses. So this getting things right is not just a going through the motion. Well, I want the preacher to feel that he did okay. I'm going to say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, for that thing I did. This is how people, this is classic. I don't know if I offended you. I don't know if I did or not. But if I, what you mean if you offended me? You know you offended me. Don't come with that nonsense if I offended you. You flat out and out offended me. Now somebody told me before service that God was going to use me to walk in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't plan to talk about none of this, but hey, I really feel this. I feel God is helping us right now. And you could say, well, the window's there. I don't know if I want it. But I'm telling you, this is it. We can make some, this goes back to what I said in the morning. God sends the blessing and life everlasting when this happens. And so I want us to close our eyes. They're getting ready to sing something. But I want us to close our eyes, and I just wanted to take a moment to reflect. Take a moment to reflect and say, God, I remember all the windows you've opened in my life, and I thank you for the ones I took advantage of. But there's a window right now in my life that I've been struggling with. God, I'm going to seek the direction of the man of God, and I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to allow you to order my steps and direct my course. And I'm going to take the courage to shoot and let the arrows land where they may. You can't go wrong obeying the voice of God in your life. And your pastor is the voice of God in your life. Hallelujah. Some of us need to make some things right. But this is your window of opportunity. I want to see my family saved. How about you? I purposely wore black tonight because I think it's time for some of us to bury our past. Amen. And so I came to conduct a funeral service for your past today. That's done. We're not even going to mourn over it. But they used to sing a song way back. I'm dancing on the grave of my enemy. I'm dancing on the trouble that was troubling me. I did not know what else to do. But Jesus Christ, you brought me through. Come on. There needs to be something that gets inside of you that says, I'm not going to let the window close. I'm going to take full advantage. And if that's your conviction tonight, I invite you to this altar. Amen. Let's ask God, amen, to have his way. Salvation to come in Jesus' name. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight if you need it. Amen. God can heal your body. God can do a work in your family. But we've got to let God be God. We have to let him take over and let him take control. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.